In the name of the Rock of Ages, dear brothers and sisters, built on him. Two years ago, I was deceived by a false prophet. This is what happened. A friend of mine and I were fishing on a very large chain of lakes in northern Wisconsin. So we have big lakes connected to each other by little channels, thousands upon thousands of acres. And being the mature, responsible men that we are, that don't want to make our wives or mothers afraid, we had looked at all of the weather reports, and we knew that storms were coming, but they were coming much later in the day. And so we planned out our fishing route perfectly. We would fish the furthest spots on the furthest lakes away from base camp first. And then we would systematically work our way until we got back to camp and we would be safe and sound in the cabin long before the rain and storms ever came. And to help us and to guide us on this brilliant plan that we had come up with, my friend was so happy and proud of this. He had downloaded a new weather app on his map. And this weather app, oh, he was showing it to me. It looked so cool. It had all kinds of bells and whistles and interactive features. And it had different colors of the radar and the fronts moving. And this weather app was very clear. We had hours to go. We were just fine. So my friend and I went off on our journey, and we fished the first few spots, and we were doing fine. And then we looked into the sky, and we saw a massive wall of gray-black clouds starting to move towards us, and we were confused. Because the weather app had prophesied that such a storm front was not coming for hours. And so my friend took out the app again. Nope, we're good to go. Well, we fished for about two more minutes. And even for a couple of city boys, we realized this thing is bearing down on us. It's coming. And he started up his 25 horsepower motor to try to get away from it. But finally, the weather app was a liar. And my friend spoke the truth when he said, "We're not getting back to the camp. This thing is going to overtake us before we get home." That weather app was a false prophet. What does the word prophet mean, or to prophesy? It can mean a couple of things. It can mean to predict the future. It can also mean just to proclaim something that is supposed to be true in the present. Well, either way, that weather app lied. It was wrong. And we were in trouble. Maybe you've encountered frustration with your own false weather prophets at times. You watch this guy who looks so good, smiling with his perfect hair and his shiny suit, and he has all those cool little graphics in the background with L's and H's and pressure systems coming, and he says, "It's going to be fine, the weather," and then it doesn't turn out to be what he said it was going to be, and you get angry, right? Yeah. And if your local weatherman that you watched was consistently wrong all of the time, would you put up with it? Would you say, "You know, he never gets the weather right, but he looks so good in that suit, and I love those graphics in the background, so who cares, I'll watch him anyway." No. I think you'd change the channel eventually, or if you had a weather app in your phone that was consistently wrong, would you just say, "I know, but I like to push the button"? No, you'd probably say, "It doesn't matter how good it looks on the outside if it doesn't tell the truth, if it doesn't prophesy what's real, I'm not putting up with this thing." Okay. Well, what's true for prophets of weather is even more true for prophets of the Word. And that's what Jesus is talking to us about today. When you think about prophets and the Bible, maybe you think of Old Testament guys, the heavy hitters like Isaiah and Jeremiah. What would those prophets do? They would often foretell the future. God would give them visions of the future to come, but often, and really more often than foretelling the future, they would simply proclaim God's message about the present. The truths about who God is, who we are. So who is a prophet of God today? Well, really, anyone who proclaims the message of God. One standing before you today. And you can be that too when you proclaim the word of God to one another. But since this is the way that Jesus, that God himself has decided to talk to us through the word of God, proclaimed by messengers, he has some strong warnings for prophets whose message is off. This is what he says. In the first part of our text today, from Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 15, he says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Pause. All right, so what are we hearing from Jesus? Well, first of all, false prophets won't always be easy to spot, to recognize. Don't imagine that you're going to hear a knock on the door and someone's going to come in with a little sign saying, "Hello, I'm your neighborhood false prophet. I will be preaching heresy this weekend, 8:30 and 11, and we have great coffee. We'd love you to come on by and defend some mistruths. Have a nice day." No. In fact, Jesus is saying they'll often be difficult to spot, like wolves in sheep clothing. They might look good on the outside. They might not even know that they are a false prophet. They might think that they are doing what is right for God. The size of the church doesn't necessarily mean that they're true or false. The really friendly people there, the programs, whatever, 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 all that is outward appearances. How will you recognize a false prophet? Jesus says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. What does that mean? By what they say and by what they do. By what they preach and teach and how they live that. So you compare, finally, what God says in his word to what they say, and you see how it matches up. Now, we don't have time today to go through every doctrine of the Bible, to talk about all the possible heresies that could be out there. But I teach a Bible information class. You're welcome to attend anytime. Let me know. But here's just a summary, maybe, for some signals that the prophet might be false. Ask yourself questions. Where is this person pointing me to for my certainty that God loves me? Is he or she pointing me to myself and what I do or feel, or to God and what he does and what he feels about me? Is finally the biggest problem amongst many problems in the world, is the biggest problem the fact that I have sinned, and that sin means I should be condemned in the sight of God? And is the biggest solution to that sin what God has already done? Or is it something else? And finally, do I hear them quoting Shakespeare and philosophy all day long, or do I actually hear the Bible? Because faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Keep that in mind, but here's another warning. Before some of us here will take out our Orthodox Wells Lutheran cards and start to wave them around and say, "Yeah, I know a bunch of churches like that, ha ha ha." Here's the danger. There's a false prophet that lives in me.
and in you too.
A sinful nature that says, as someone did in the garden so long ago, did God really say? A false prophet in me, a sinful nature that wants to take God's word and conform it to my reason, to my emotion, and to my will, to make my life comfortable. And when God tells me things in his word that are uncomfortable, I can be very creative in trying to ignore it or change it. A false prophet in me that does not always like the sins that God condemns. And a false prophet in me that really doesn't like it when God tells me things like, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Ooh, oh, no. And Jesus is serious about false prophets out there or the false prophet in here that would walk away from his word. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Ouch. This is life or death. This is the most important thing in my life. Now and forever. And that's why I need the voice of my true prophet to keep calling me back. Calling me from all the voices in the world. Calling me from the voices of my own sinful nature. Calling me again and again and again. I have a true prophet and you do too. And this true prophet calls my sin, sin. And he shows me my sin and it hurts. But then this true prophet shows me the only way to heaven. This true prophet doesn't show a way to heaven. This true prophet is the way to heaven. This true prophet doesn't give me some tips to have a happier life. This true prophet is my life now and forever. This true prophet is Jesus. And with authority, he comes and makes me uncomfortable, and you too through his word. He shows you your sin, but then with authority, he lifts your eyes and mine upon his cross, where I see all of my sin paid for. Because with authority on that cross, he died for it all. With authority, he rose from the dead, and with authority, he proclaims to you words that are not false and that will not change. I love you. I forgive you. I have risen from the dead and I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me that you might be where I am. And then with authority, he makes amazing promises through that rock solid word for us who are still waiting for the storms of life to stop. He says, neither life nor death, angels nor demons can separate you from my love. And the more that I hear that voice and build my life upon it, then the more I'll be prepared when the weather of life comes, when the storms hit, when my guilt, when my depression, my anxiety, my despair, my wonder, my worries start to come over me. I say, no. What does the prophet say? With authority, he says, he lived for me, died for me, rose again, and is coming for me. I can build my life now and forever on that. Enough of my words. Let him describe it for you. This is what he says in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law. His word is a rock to build on that will keep you safe in the storms of life. Hear it, believe it. We knew we weren't going to beat that storm. It was bearing down on us, and 25 horses, well, those horses were as good as dead. That storm was coming down on us. What were we going to do? Well, just ahead of us was a small channel to another one of these massive lakes. And in that small channel, there was a little bridge over the channel. And we putted into that channel with the bridge over our heads. But the wind was starting to pick up. We were about to get blown right back out into open water. We were in trouble. But then my friend did something very wise. He took out two anchors, put one in the front of the boat, put one in the back of the boat. And even though the water was only about 3 or 4 feet deep, there was something very key and important underneath us. Rocks. What he did was he deftly shoved the anchor underneath some rocks on each end of the boat so that the anchor was covered and connected and cemented, in a sense, in those rocks. And then the storm hit. And the winds blew and beat against the boat, and the current was raging through that channel. We didn't move. Why? We're anchored in the rock. In fact, after about 10 minutes, we felt so safe, we started to relax. We took our phones to look for a new weather app. We were fine. Why do you study the Word of God? It's not to win in doctrinal trivial pursuit. It's not to justify yourself. It's not to be able to quote really long, confusing Hebrew names at cocktail parties. Why do you study the Word of God? Because it's God's Word. It's God talking to you. It's God saying to you, I will never leave you or forsake you. And it is a voice that will never lie, no matter what storms pound and beat and howl and rage against you. In the Word and in the Word alone, you have a foundation that will never be put to shame, that will never be destroyed, and you have a voice that will never lie to you, your true prophet, Jesus. Listen to it. Listen to Him. Believe it. Love it. Amen. May the peace of our God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.